Let's pray for the reading of God's word. Father, will you bless your word in a special way this morning? Father, will you open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to show us and give us the grace to apply those things that you're wanting us to see? Father, will you give us excitement about your word and open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see wonderful things you have hidden in it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let it do what it was meant to do in our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's reading follows in Psalm 119. Begins on page 958 in the Pew Bible, verses 33 to 48. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pat. So last week, I talked about praying for your children systematically. This week, I will talk about praying for them thoroughly. Last week, I shared some amazing answers to prayers that I had prayed for my children. And I encouraged you to see it as an exciting path to ask God for the impossible in the lives of our children. I've also reminded you throughout the sermons that I've been preaching on how to pray for your children, that our children do not need criticism, they need prayer. Today we will focus on learning what it means to pray thoroughly. Last week was systematically, today is thoroughly, covering every area that God wants us to cover, praying thoroughly for them. And I keep wondering how many of you are still tempted to think that one or two sermons is enough to cover this topic. Believe me, it's not. Learning how to pray systematically and thoroughly for my children has been a lifetime journey, and it's been worth it. I have seen many, many, many miracles, prayers that were impossible. I still don't have an answer. As you know, it is not my custom to share personal things in sermons because I think it's important to focus on the word. But an example comes to my mind that I believe is from the Spirit because I hadn't even included it. Another one of impossible things that you can't even explain because it is about prayer and it is about praying systematically for our children. I don't know how many of you remember, about 2 years ago, Christian was going to go to Greece, and I had reminded him to update his passport, and he didn't do it in time. So by the time he sent it, it was a little too late, and on top of it was too late according to the average time that it takes for a passport to be updated. Well, long story short, it was about a week before he had to leave, and he didn't have a passport. So he said, "Will you please, I made a mistake. I should have sent it early like you told me, Mom." Yep, Mom was right again. I'm not always right, but I'm often right. Like your parents, no, you're not always right, but you're often right, you know, in the lives of your children. So I prayed, and they said, you know, he called, and they said you would have to pay, travel over there to Buffalo, and I think it was 3 days, yeah, before, and it would take a day to get there, and then wait, so he had to get an overnight stay there. Anyway, I don't remember all the details, but he just didn't have time. And then he said, "What if I mail it? If I mail the money to do a speedy something way that he could do it?" They said, "Well, it will take 2 days for it to get here and back." And anyway, it was just impossible. So I prayed, and I thought, this takes a lot of faith, and I only had a little bit, but I prayed. 2 days, was it 2 days before he, maybe it was the day before. I mean, he was about ready to cancel the trip, but waiting. He got the passport in the mail, and someone, I'm telling you this is true, someone he doesn't know who, had paid there for the passport to be overnighted. We don't know who it was. We don't know anybody there. So he was shocked. I could tell you story after story after story, but this is just to encourage you. So he did go to Greece on time. This is just to encourage you to pray for the impossible, to not stop praying, and to not think that you know everything there is to know on how to pray for your children. Verses 33 and 34 remind us of one of the most important ingredients in our prayers of intercession for our children: humility and dependence on God. That means you don't think you know everything you know how to pray for your children, and so you depend on God. It says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Teach me, Lord." That's the attitude. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. It's really easy for us, well, not so easy, but it's easier for us to do that when we're students or when we're really, really young, you know, learning a new trade. But when we grow older, we think we know. That's not to be so. That is not to be so. One of the most important ingredients in our prayers is humility and dependence on God. Don't think you know how to do it. Don't ignore the details written in God's word about prayer. Don't ignore God's heart for your children. Include that in your prayers. This passage invites us to pray for our children thoroughly. Verse 35, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." If that's what God wants for the psalmist, that's what God wants for you. And guess what? That's what God wants for your children too. So you pray that. God wants us to pray for our children's feet, not his physical feet, their physical feet. If they have issues with their feet, yes. But this is about their spiritual feet to stay in the path of God's commands. And for our children to find delight in doing that, to find delight in walking in the path of God's commands. You pray that. Pray that directly as it's stated in the word. And then verses 36 and 37 shows us that God also wants to pray for the spiritual heart and eyes of our children. So you may think, well, I already prayed. You know, how many times do I need to tell God the same thing? Pray for their feet to go on the path and their eyes to see. Yes, yes, yes. That's how you pray. You pray specifically their feet to be on the path and their eyes to see, their spiritual eyes to see right. So imagine if you would just pray for someone's feet to be okay in the physical realm, and then don't pray for their eyes to see. Wouldn't their feet stumble? They need to see. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. The heart needs to be turned. As I said at the beginning of this series, many of our children are bound to things. Their hearts are bound to things that are not God. And that's why they are where they are. So we need to pray that their hearts are unbound. Turn my heart towards your statutes. So you pray, turn my children's heart towards your principles, your truth, your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. How many of you would quickly say that the world is always trying to point our children and us towards selfish gain? We would all say that, wouldn't we? Selfish gain, worldly gains. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. So sometimes, not only do you pray, turn my children's eyes towards what is right, but turn them away from what is wrong. You may think this is redundant, but this is God's way, people. This is God's way. I'm telling you simply how God wants us to pray, covering all of our bases, patching every little hole through which the devil may want to get in and mess up our children's lives. I have even prayed, may they be disgusted about what is not good. May they feel unattracted to those things that the world is alluring them towards. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. You see, you're praying God's heart for your children, and there's power there. So spiritual eyes, what they see, how they see life. You know, what is your children's worldview? That should be important to you. What is it your children's worldview that work, 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 make money, make money, make money? Or are they making room for God somehow? Or are they squeezing a little corner of God out of shame and guilt? What are your children set on? What is their heart bound in? The Bible also speaks of our feet, eyes, physical feet, heart. All that is important to God to hear in prayer. You see, that's God's plan. That as our children do life, we would be walking with them in prayer, tweaking things that we see. We see them pulling towards this, then we pray that God will bring them in. We see them, you know, really greedy, then we pray that God will show them the meaningless of the love of money and have them seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, that they may discover that all these things are added unto them. We see them lazy. We don't tell them. We don't criticize them. We encourage them and we pray for opportunities. We see them unhappy because they need a wife. Then we pray a wife, a spouse for them. They're suffering financially. They have low self-esteem. We pray specifically for those things. I remember I told you last week, if we say just bless our children, God could say, there goes the rain, there goes light. If you are going to pray general prayers, you may very well be getting general answers from God. God loves a very specific, systematic, and thorough prayer for our children. So, is this a magic wand? No, but it is powerful. And I say no only because there are many times when we will pray and things don't change right away. God wants to develop perseverance in us in prayer. And it's still our responsibility to pray for our children, even if we're not seeing answers to prayer. We don't just say, I already prayed for that. We keep praying and praying. And in the midst of it, what if they get into trouble? What if their life seems to have been messed up because of a choice that they made? Well, then that's when we remember God's promises. God wants to remind us of his promises, not because he forgets them, but because we do. So we need to be reminded of God's promises. Verse 38, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Do you even know God's promises for your children? That's what we need to be diligent about. Do you know any promise for you? We need to claim God's promises. I have a sign in my office. God fulfills his promises. Because I need to see that. I need to remember it every day. God fulfills his promises. And he wants us to be specific. Yes, in the midst of it all. Remember his promises. At the same time, so you remember his promise at the same time that you keep praying for that which you are praying for your child. Verse 39 says, take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How many times do you dread your children falling into the pit even more or going lower into wherever, whatever pit they're in? So it says, take away the disgrace I dread. We present our fears. We say, I fear that I may never see my child again if I confront him. Or I fear that my child may never be successful. You bring those fears to God at the same time that you remember God's promises and you mention them to God in prayer. Tell God what disgrace you want him to take away from your child, from you as well. And ask God to fill your child with his righteousness. Ask him to cause your child to long for God's truth. That's important for God. You can't just be praying for things to happen in their lives that are good from a worldly perspective. Pray that they have hunger and desire for God. Verse 40 will remind you of that. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. So you pray, whatever your child is going through, you pray God's righteousness will preserve his life or her life, and that this child will be like the psalmist saying, how I long for your precepts. When was the last time you prayed that your child would want God, would cry out for God, would be passionate about God, would say, I want more of God. You see, that's the prayer sometimes that we don't pray because we're praying general prayers, umbrella prayers. Ask God to help you and your child stay faithful to him. Verses 41 and 43, may your unfailing love come to me. Ask, I have often prayed, especially for my son, who I believe was terribly affected by the falling from grace of his father. I pray, be his father. May your unfailing love be with him. May he see and experience your love wherever he goes. These verses say, may your unfailing love come to me. You can pray, may your unfailing love come to my child. Lord, your salvation according to your promise. If they're not saved, pray for their salvation. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I've put my hope in your laws. This has to do with praying for perseverance for your children so they stay on God's path all throughout their lives, no matter what comes their way. And then the last few verses remind us to pray for our children to be a blessing. I mean, there's a mission. It's not just about them, but it's about how God wants to use them. Have you prayed for that? That your children will be a blessing to others? That's part of praying systematically and thoroughly. We need to be praying that our children are a blessing to others. These last verses speak of their mission. It reminds me of praying for their mission in life according to what God has called them to do. Verses 46 and 48. I will speak mission. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. What is the mission of your child? Does he know? Does she know? Do you know? God knows. So you pray that to come to pass in their lives. You pray that for them to blossom in that which God has called them to do. Let me encourage you to fulfill your call as a parent to pray for your children's heart thoroughly, for their feet, their eyes, and every part of their lives. Let us pray. Father, we are still learning. There's so much to learn. Thank you for the reminders about this topic, which is so important to you, for us to pray for our children is one of the greatest duties that you have given to us. We have not always been faithful, but you are faithful, and we want to grow in this area. We want to be thorough. We want to be systematic. We want to be faithful, and we want to persevere as we pray for our children. Father, teach us. We want humility, the humility to say, teach us. Teach us how to pray. Help us to depend on you and to consider your wisdom, to consider the ingredients that you want us to include in every prayer that we pray for our children. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.